good test, beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, Rishonim Day here. And the Ramban, the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, if it's, I would say probably the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo with the miracles and that everything is a miracle and no, Hashem only did miracles in the past, you have to remember it. That's probably the number one Ramban. This Ramban is probably number two, if not number two, certainly in the top five of Rambans over the course of Chumash. So if you recall, Rashi spelled out, so what is that mean that you're going to be Kaddish? So Rashi put it in the context of the previous parak, right? The previous parak was discussing all of the arayos in the Torah, and Rashi comes along and said, yeah, and if you avoid all of the arayos, you will get be Kaddish. And Rashi in fact quoted other sources, other times when Hashem speaks about immorality in the Torah, concludes it by talking about the avoiding it in order to attain levels of Kedusha. So the Ramban takes a little bit of a different spin on it. The Ramban says, he quotes Rashi, and then he goes on and says, well, feed thy tea. Here she gives another pshat also. Right? Just as I am one who separates, so to you be one who separates. So feed thy tea, but according to me, in a prisha hazu, lifrush min harayas kedivirat. Right? This is not talking about separation from immorality like Rashi mentioned. Aval haprishas he, what is prishas referring to? Hamuskaris v'chol makum b'talmud, shabaleha nikrim prushim. Rather, it's the parush, meaning the separateness that we talk about in the Old Talmud, about being a parush, somebody who is like a separates himself from all of the enjoyments of this world. The inyan, and the idea is, ki atorah hisir ba'arayas u'machalam asurim, v'hitira havia ish v'ishto, v'achilas abasar v'ayayin. The Torah prohibits certain types of arayas, of immorality, and eating prohibited things, but it permits a man being with his wife and eating meat and wine. In Cain, yimtza bal hataiva makum liyos shatuf bezemes. If that's the case, somebody who is a bal taiva, somebody who is a desirous person, has the ability to become addicted to zemes ishto, to being with his wife, o nashav harbos, or many of his wives, right? The Torah permits one to have more than one wife. Vilios besova yain, and also somebody could be drunk, immersed in wine, bizole basolamo, and gluttonous with regards to meat. And he would speak kirtsono as his desire, the chol hanavelos, with all of the profanities. And so here we go. This is where is the idea of nivel peh in the Torah. So here the Ramban is invoking that with regards to this parsha, right? To speak badly. Shlo huskar isur the zev Torah. Right? The Torah is not mentioned. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that one is not allowed to go against the FEC violations, right? But yet, if one does, right, he will be a naval. He will be one who is a naval. Degraded one, I guess? A nevela, a naval b'shus haTorah, a degraded one within the permission of the Torah, right? He would be following the halacha. He'll say, oh, look at me, I'm following the halacha. But yet he's not doing the appropriate thing. L'fichach ba'akas. So therefore, the pasuk comes and tells us, achay shapar ha'isurim sha'asarosam, right? After it lists off all of the specific things that are prohibited l'gamre, b'tziv b'davar klali, and commanded in a klal, and commands in a klal fashion, shenia perushim mina mutaros, that you should even be separate from that which is permissible to you. Yamit b'miskal, right? You should do things in moderation. As the Gemara tells in Maseches Brach, shaliyu tamidi chacham mitzuyin etzel nishosim karagolim, that the tamidi chacham shouldn't be with their wives like roosters. V'lo yishamish el kafi hatzarech b'kima mitzuyin menu, and he should have shimash, they should have relations according to the appropriate amount that is the mitzvah. All right, what's that? So that's for, you know, the Gemara seems to talk about that, how that applies to various times, right? Not for now. But Yekadesh Atzma Min HaYayin B'miyuta, right? He should have sanctify himself from wine in a little bit. He should have a little bit of wine. as the pasuk tells us, Hanazir kadosh. Hanazir is kadosh. V'yizkar haros hanizkar b'menu b'toras b'noach b'lot. And recognize the bad things that come about from wine, as we see in the stories of Noach and Lot. V'chein yafresh asam minatuma, also one should separate themselves from impurity, even though it doesn't say in the Torah you should. As the Gemara tells us, the big the amaretz midrash l'prushim, that the clothing of the amaretz were separate for the prushim. Right, the prushim would stay away from it because they want to stay tahor. And they would watch themselves from tumas hamis as well, which is an interesting thing. I mean, that is an interesting concept, that tara is, we've pointed out a few times here, that tara isn't supposed to be associated with, we don't have to associate with bad. There's no sin in becoming tamei. But yet that seems to be what he's talking about here, right? That the people, that tzaddikim would try to stay away from it. The gam yishmer piv v'lashonu, and same thing with the mouth again, right? There must have been something going on in the Ramban's town, right? They also, once you watch there, watch what they say. And watch what they eat, and not to make any lewd remarks, and all of those types of things. Right, and therefore, that describes the placement as well. That after we have described these specific prohibitions in the previous parsha, we're now just going to give the klal. And by the way, as a general rule, right, be good. The Ramban concludes by saying, "V'zed derech haTorah," and that is what the Torah does often. Lifrot ulichol chiyotzi b'zed, often to give you details, to give you pratim, and then to include more things. Ki acharei azharas prati hadinim b'chol masu matan shvei b'nei'al. Remember, after it discusses the details of business between people, lo tigno v'lo tigzo, the idea of not stealing and not being a thief, v'lo tonu ushar azhara, not to afflict, and other prohibitions. It says in general, basisa yashavatov, right, you should do what is right and what is good. Sheyachnis ba'asei hayosher v'hishve v'chol lefanim mishur asadin l'irson chaver. You should be good, and you should be straight, and you should even go lifnim mishur asadin sometimes, above the level of the law, as we explained when we get to that place. V'chein and so to Shabbos. The Shabbos describes specific malachos, asra malachos b'la'av v'hatrachim ba'asei klali shenemar tishbos, right? It says in general, also tishbos, even though there are details of Shabbos, it says, and you should rest. So that's what the Ramban says is going on here. It is coming to prohibit somebody being a naval b'rishus haTorah, somebody being considered a debased individual, even though they claim that they are following, and claim in fact they are. They are following halacha, but they're lacking, you know, could claim the spirit of the law, they're lacking the moral gains from it, and we see that concept appear regularly over the course of Shas. Right? Over the course of the Torah, right? That's not necessarily a new concept. There is, I was listening, one of the this headline podcast that I've gotten into, so he had one about the one having to do with the sale of chametz with the beer, but he was discussing that, and Rabbi, the person from the Star K, was trying to explain that even though that got briefly into the discussion, although it's a much bigger discussion, of things you give a shkach to even when you don't approve of the program itself, right, which is a big challenge for kashrus agencies, right? A kosher caterer is hired to do an intermarriage, right? So is that okay? So the Star K's policy, right, or we want to have a bar mitzvah. We want to hire a kosher caterer to do a bar mitzvah on Shabbos afternoon when there's music and dancing and other things that are prohibited taking place. Right? Well, the food's going to be kosher. Right? So is that okay? Is that not okay? So that falls into this Ramban. The Rabbi Tendler in this podcast said that, I don't want to misquote him, but I think what he said was, is that if the wedding is prohibited, we won't give a heksher to it. We won't allow our caterers to give a heksher to it. So it's not just, a Kohen is marrying a divorcee. That he said, even, for instance, somebody wants to get married on Chol Moed, and they're going to have kosher, and they want to invite their, and you're not allowed to get married on Chol Moed, but okay, like, they're worse things. So he doesn't care, but he said, you know, having this, my firm relatives that are coming, so I'll hire a kosher caterer for them. And because of that, the entire wedding is going to be kosher. So what do we do? Would we give a heksher to such a wedding? He said no. He said the Star K has a policy that they wouldn't give. That's their policy. We're not going to give. It becomes also complicated with this we had, right? If a caterer gets hired to do a homosexual wedding or mixed marriage, right? It would really be the same thing. So can they do the wedding? So the reason why the gay marriage one is worse is because if they say we're not going to do it, so then guess what they're going to have coming their way, especially under the last administration? Maybe you have a lawsuit, right? So what do we do about that? So we could so we can't really tell them, sorry, you can't do it, because, and suffer the consequences. They really will be sued. They'll be put out of business. So we can't say, fine, you could go. We're not giving a hechsher to it. Why? What would be the problem with that? Okay, fine. You do the wedding, and we're not going to give a hechsher to it, and we would be absolved. We wouldn't have that problem as a kashrus organization. It's just our religious policy. So why would that be a problem? Anybody know?
The caterer is telling the caterer they can do it.
We'll tell the caterer as a kashrus organization. We'll tell the caterer, you go ahead and do the wedding, and it just won't be under our hashgacha. What's the problem with that? Why is the caterer going to have a problem? I understand, but no, you go, and for that party, we're not going to give our hechsher to it. We're just not going to supervise it. Maybe yes, maybe no. That's not what I'm thinking of. The bigger problem is, well, what about the hashgacha on the stuff? Right? They're going with all their pots and their pans, so how could we just say, okay, you go and come back and we'll assume everything is fine? How could we assume everything is going to be fine? So that's actually the policy. I did a survey on about a couple of organizations. That seems to be what the policy is. Said you could go, we're going to send the mashgiach, and we're not going to put a sign up saying this is under our hashgacha.
What about if they want to get married during life while there?
Right, so that's the same. So I think different organizations will have different policies. What? That is a halacha. It's feirush in Shulchan Aruch not to get married during Sfira. Now it's a little unclear which Sfira, right? This machlok is whether the first half or the second half of Sfira. But let's assume it's now, right now, in the middle of Sfira. So it's in Shulchan Aruch not to have weddings during that time. So what if the kosher keter gets hired? I assume the star kei would say, we're not giving you the shkacha. Other organizations might have different positions on it. I don't think we've had the shaila come up for us that we have to pass on it. Yeah.
Can the caterer say ratification? They couldn't sue.
Well, the caterer could say, with regards to which?
During Sfira.
With regards to Sfira, they could say they could decline the job, right? We're on vacation, we're not being discriminatory at all. But to say we'll do one kind of wedding, but we're not going to do another type, quote unquote, of wedding, so that could then be seen as discriminatory, and they could, in theory, you can be sued for anything, but that's the Baker case. That's, I guess, was heard by the Supreme Court, and we should be getting a decision in the next couple of weeks, right?
Is a case before the
spring. The bakery, yeah, in Colorado, where the person refused to make the cake. Right. Okay. So, alright, so that is the famous Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. There's also a Sforno here seems to go along the lines of, seems to be saying along the lines of Rashi, and he actually spells it that's the rest of the Perek as well. But maybe we'll come back to that if there's time. So let's go to. Oh, there's an Or HaChaim, I think I wanted to. Where was that? Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. So we got to in Pasuk Tess in verse 9. So that is the parsha, the pasuk, the mitzvah of Peah and the mitzvah of Leket. Right? So when you cut the corner of your fields, don't cut the entire corner. Right? And the Leket, that which was left behind, you shouldn't go ahead and collect. So that's the mitzvah of Peah and Leket. So the Or HaChaim says, yeah. Right, Tam shehiskel adaber b'loshon rabim, but gamar omer b'loshon yachid lo sechale. Right, v'kutzrechem, your fields, k'tiratzechem, when you are harvesting your fields, lo sechale pa'asad chal dekutzrechel. Lo sechale is a loshon yachid. So why is it changed from plural language to singular language? That's the shaila that the Or HaChaim asks. Okay, so what's the answer? So Tamshi Hiskladar Belashon Rabim Vegamar Omer Belashon Yakilos Sekale Nischavin Lishwal Das Hatoim, to in order to avert or to undermine the idea of the mistaken ones. Asher Omer, why? What do they say? Ki Kishain Dover Mas Piklanim Ein Lo Litain. There's not enough. What are we going to be able to do in order to help the poor person? I don't have enough in my field to be able to help this guy. So what's the point? What's the point in me giving the corner of my field? It's not going to help the poor dude anyways, or the poor population anyways. Al derech omro ma'ata zelif speak ladim ein lo litain. Al derech omro ma'atein zelifimeya. Right, as we say, what I can give in front of 100 people? So lazet siva. So therefore, it commands Hashem b'loshon yachid. Hashem says it in a singular language as well. Right, you, Hashemilu echad levad, even one person, alav chovas peya. You have the obligation of peya. Right, hagam ki peya shel adam echad muetes hi l'chol ani Yisrael. Yes, it's true that the peya of one guy is very small for all the poor people of Israel. V'chemokim b'mitzvus leket uferet v'olales omer l'loshon. Yachid mitamaniska, and by the mitzvah of leket as well, right? It mentions in the language of singular because for that reason, right? We want to demonstrate that even you individual, thinks, oh, what's my $5 going to do? What's my $20 going to do in order of helping this organization? No, that makes a difference in you, and whether it does or whether it doesn't, you have a mitzvah to do it anyways, right? That's part of your mitzvah as well. Fine. So it continues the Orach Chaim, and it says v'tam smichus mitzvah zu la'onesh karis. And another thing, right? This mitzvah is right next to a punishment of karis. Right? What was that? In the previous pasuk, it says that if one who eats pigle, right, they're going v'ochlo amano yisa, he has kodesh shem chilel, right? He has been mechal hektish v'nichrasa nefesh yimeh, and he'll get karis for that. So the very next pasuk is this mitzvah of peya and lech. So what is that? What is the connection there? So with Tam Smichus Mitzvah Zul Onish Karis, the reason why this mitzvah is right next to the punishment of Karis, Ulai Sheremesh Shelo Yomar Adam Im Hizid Vin Ischayev Karis, that person shouldn't make the mistake and say, oh, I'm already Chayev Karis, all hope is lost for me. Right? Me'ata Im Lishmar Atzos, so therefore I might as well give up. I might as well not do anything, right? I might as well not do any mitzvahs anymore. Kosher is diamond the fun of my seara. Kikfarnis chayev karis. I already am chayev karis. I already ate on Yom Kippur. I already ate chametz on Pesach. Right? I already did one of these things. I have karis. Therefore, I might as well give up. So v'zeh amar uvukutzrechem eskatzir etzechem. Right? Therefore, it says the corners of your fields. Perish kishigaram ad sheniktzar katzir arzo shu karis amar b'samuch. Right? When you have been cut off from your land, don't allow the last remaining vestiges to be cut as well. That we're not going to cut off all of the entire nefesh, rather just the branch. Ari, ki b'teva hakdusha lahasher makom shiyabo, and he quotes from the Ari that the teva, the regular way things are supposed to work, is that kedusha is supposed to remain where it is, right? Imkein hagam shenichras, even if one got kares, adayin yesh hasharus hakatzir sham. There is still some remaining there. There is still some leftovers there, and that should be tended to, and that should be taken care of, and that should be built upon. So it's actually, in a way, it's the opposite, right? In the first, the mitzvah is you take all, everything for yourself and leave a little bit behind for the Aniyim. So it says the Orach Chaim, he like twists it around and says, no. Even when all of it is gone, there's still a little bit left that could be used for mitzvah. There's still a little bit left that you'll be able to utilize, and from there you'll be able to grow, and from there you'll be able to impact. And you shouldn't lose hope just because you have one fee of karis or more than that, perhaps on your docket. Okay, one more piece here I wanted to say in the few minutes that we have left, and that's on Pasuk Yudal, the last of the. psukim that we did preparation for today. Lo sekalel cheresh, alifnei ivir lo sitein. Make sure you shouldn't curse a deaf guy, nor in front of a blind, nor in front of the blind should you place a stumbling block. V'yareisim elokach ani Hashem. You should fear Hashem. So the Ramban picks up on this lo sekalel cheresh. You shouldn't curse a deaf person. So we quoted this from Rashi yesterday, right? Ein li ela cheresh is only a cheresh, right? Minayin l'rabbis called him. How do I know that I shouldn't curse any? Beitamlor be'am chalosa or that. There's another pasuk that says you shouldn't curse your nation. So why do we say cheresh? So machiresh miyuchad shu b'chayim yatzah hamid she'inu b'chayim. So just as a cheresh is miyuchad that he's still alive, meaning cheresh is like the most difficult of those that are alive but still alive. So living people are included in this prohibition, but dead people are not. Right? That's the pshat that Rashi gives. So suggests v'hu shinui, and that's from the Torah's Kohanim. That's from the Medrash. So comes the Ramban. It says about the Medrash, the Gemara inokin. He says if you look at the Gemara actually gives a different pshat in this pasuk. So this is interesting. When Rashi quotes a Medrash instead of a Gemara, why would Rashi do that? It must somehow fit into pshat a little bit better. I bet if you would look in the book What's Bothering Rashi, you would find a pshat here. But anyways, but what about this? But the Medrash in the Gemara, quotes this pasuk in a different way. What does it say? What halacha does it learn out? It says Elohizer hakasav b'nichbadim bi'am hadayin v'anasi. Right? It's a command specifically to those that are the most honored amongst us. Those that are the judges and the nesiim, those that are in charge. Right? Shneamar Elohim lo sekalav anasibam chalos or. Right? We say specifically you shouldn't curse God and you shouldn't the nesiim of your nation. You shouldn't curse either. V'chazer v'hizir ba'am amalim sheba'am. Right? And therefore it commands the lowest of the nation, meaning the Cheresh, when we have Yilmadu Bevinyanav al Kol Sharam, Ki Min HaRosh V'Yatzuf HaKol B'Chal Azar, that everybody is included in the prohibition. Right? It's not teaching that everybody is included in terms of who one curses, but rather the Gemara is learning it out to teach that everybody is included in terms of who the curser is, the one who is making the curse. And therefore, okay, as opposed to Rishayim that are going to be Yah. So the Rabban then turns around and says, Valder, but yet the pshat is kind of like Rashi says that the deaf person is included in the curse. Why? Even though he doesn't hear and he won't get angry at the curse, love the Torah still commands on it. And certainly those that hear it that they will be embarrassed and they'll be afraid. Maybe those that hear would be embarrassed and would be afraid of it and therefore avoid them. The ode. What else do we have here? Ki yazir behove. That also is a command. Sha adam mikalal hachiresh umichshel haor hamichshel iver shlo yir mihem kilo yadav lo yavinu. Right, that people can curse the deaf and they could put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but they won't see them and they won't know and they won't understand. Al kain via reisam elukecha. That's why the pasuk concludes: you should fear God. Shu ro anisaros. Plus Hashem sees that which is privet. Vahosif lav achir b'mushlam. And then we add one more lav. And what is that? Hanasi ve'adayin. That the Nasi and the Dayan are included in those that are cursed. Why? Or those that you're not allowed to curse. Bavur, Shederach HaNashim L'Kolam B'Chadri Mishkavam. Because the way of people is to curse the leaders in their inner sanctum, in their bedrooms, right? They curse the rabbis. Kashir Kishke, Bishafto Yatsa Rasha. Especially if their judgment came against them badly. Right? Uvakalas HaNasi V'Dayan T'Kalas. Rabbis, there's many curses against the Nasiim and the Dayanim and the Rabbanim. No. Because the many people are in their understanding hate them and want to do bad to them. But yet in their laws that's what the land is standing on. So there's an extra command to not to curse the Nesiim, which how do you fit that in the pasuk? So I was just thinking that the deaf shouldn't be the deaf. Those that don't really know what's going on, right, shouldn't go and curse the leadership. Right, one has to be careful in order to avoid doing that. All right, so that is the final Ramban. What should we do? Should we stop here? Should we go on? Or usually we always end really on Fridays, but we got 12:03. One more thing?
Yeah.
One more thing. So usually I'll go ahead a little bit. I looked at the Ramban and then forgot that we hadn't covered the pasuk yet. But it's in 2-3 psukim from now. Another famous Ramban. The Ramban says, where was that? Pasuk Yedzayin, it says, Lo sisnas achicha bilhavecha. One should not hold hatred for their brother in their heart. Hocheach tochiach esamisecha. You should give tochacha. Velo sisal love chet. And you shouldn't bear upon yourself a sin. So that Pasuk is a very interesting Pasuk, right? You shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. You should give musar to those that need it. And you shouldn't bear the sin. So those independent things, are those considered, are you supposed to combine them all? So the Ramban explains, yeah, it all fits together. Mitzvah cheres, lamdu tuchachas musar. Another mitzvah is to give musar. And therefore you won't bear the sin. Shia lecha asham kasher yichatei v'lo huchacho. So that person will sin, you won't bear the guilt. When the guy sins, and you didn't give him musar. V'laze yitei lashon unklo sha'amar, v'lo sekabel al dilei chova, sh'lo tekabel osonash. V'chit shalom. That's the way unklo explains it as well. V'nei hasone es So somebody who hates a person violates a prohibition. You love him, you include the assay. So this is the way I understand it, says Ramban. Right, you should give musar, just like Avimelech gave musar to, like Avram gave musar to Avimelech. But Yomer Pasuk says, right, don't hate your brother when he does to you which you don't want. What should you do? Aval tochichenu, you should give him musar. You should tell him, right, rebuke him. Why are you doing this to me? And therefore you won't bear the sin by holding the hatred in your heart. Which is a very good thing, because what's the very next pasuk? The very next pasuk, 18, is lo sikom v'lo titor, and don't do revenge, right? So give him rebuke, right? Get him to apologize and say he won't do it again. If you keep it inside, what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to get revenge, and that's not good either. Because by giving a musar, he'll do vidui for his sin, he'll get kapar. And there comes the prohibition of not doing revenge. What's the concern? Because maybe you won't hate him, but you'll remember the sin. Therefore, the command is right that to remove the sin of your brother from your heart. And what's the final pasuk at the end of this little stretch here? You should love your brother as yourself. I am Hashem, and that way you will, which Rabbi Akiva calls, right, Zekhal Gadol B'Torah, although I don't see where the Ramban just had a change here, but I thought they quoted. As Rabbi Akiva says, the Zekhal Gadol B'Torah, but I actually don't see that here. Rather, the Ramban picks up the next line, which has its own halakhic ramifications, which I guess we'll get to at some point in the future. Alright, stop here. Have a good day. Alright. Shabbos.